This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
Whether they provide us with companionship, an income, food, or serve a critical role in the ecosystems that support us, animals are vital to human health. Have fun with us as we learn about animal-related topics and about the amazing bond we share with our animal friends.
Pets could get problems and experience health issues in all kinds of different body systems, but one we don't talk about all the time is when our pets get eye disease. So let's talk about today what kinds of things can go wrong with our pets' eyes and what we might notice if they do end up having some kind of eye issues and what can be done for them. Danielle, this is what you're going to be going over with us today. So how common is it for our pets to get problems with their eyes?
Well, actually, it's really common for them to get eye problems, though, of course, not all eye abnormalities lead to really bad, you know, issues for the pet. Many of the most common ones are things we see all the time. You know, for example, we see these rusty colored kind of tear tracks running down the face of some breeds of dogs. You know, tear stain remover products actually became a thing because this is so common. Of course, there are lots of other disease processes, though, that can lead to eye problems that of course, unfortunately aren't so benign.
Oh, boy. When we think about eye problems in pets, what other diseases come to mind, Danielle?
Well, you know, eyes, of course, can be affected by bacteria and viruses, just like any other body tissues. We also see inflammation in the eyes, you know, sometimes secondary to a problem with the immune system reacting inappropriately to something in the body or the environment. Things can also go wrong with the structures in the eye too. You know, sometimes the lenses can become cloudy. The iris, the colored part of the eye that expands and contracts to allow light into the eye, can have issues. And sometimes we even see certain types of cancer that can affect the eye. The other thing about eyes is that, you know, people have this saying that, you know, the eyes are the window to the soul. Well, they're almost like a window into the rest of the body, too, in a medical sense, because some diseases that affect the whole body will show symptoms in the eyes as well. So, you know, a pet with eye disease, they might be squinting a lot. They might be rubbing at their face or their eyes. They might have discharge coming from the eyes as well. If they suddenly lose their vision, they might be bumping into things where they never used to. They might trip or fall down the stairs, which would be unusual, especially if they're outside or in an unfamiliar environment. And you might see other behavioral changes too. You know, they might yelp or jump when someone goes to touch them because they can't see you coming and they weren't expecting someone to be there, for example. Any color changes, spots or cloudiness in the eyes, of course, you know, should be looked at by your veterinarian too.
Okay, let's talk about common eye diseases then in pets.
Sure. So the tear staining problem I mentioned earlier is actually very common in dogs, especially the flat-faced and small or toy breeds. So tears actually have a pigment called porphyrin in them. So if they spill out over the eyelids and run down the face instead of draining away down a duct like they're supposed to, the fur on the face gets stained this rusty brown kind of red color. Some dogs have this almost right from day one. You know, while others will develop it later, and that is usually secondary to another eye problem. It's mostly a cosmetic issue unless it was caused by another problem first. If it is a new thing, you should take your pet to see the vet to kind of rule out other issues. But the best thing, of course, to watch out for with this is to keep the hair on the face as short as possible and to keep it as clean and as dry as possible. Pets with this tear spilling over problem, they'll sometimes get skin infections from the skin being wet and dirty and crusty all the time. So keeping the hair short, keeping it clean and dry is the best way to prevent that. Another problem I see on a regular basis is conjunctivitis, which is when the tissues around the eyes are inflamed. I see this a lot when dogs go to doggy daycare or when they go to leash-free parks. Somebody gets it, they go to socialize with their dog buddies, and then it goes around the whole group. Kind of like kids in kindergarten, right?
Yep.
Yep. So, these scenarios are very commonly caused by bacterial infections, sometimes viruses. We typically notice this green or yellow goo coming out of the eyes, and the pet is uncomfortable. They're squinting a lot and rubbing at their eyes. If the infection is bad enough, sometimes it can cause a wound on the cornea. The cornea is this clear window-like covering on the surface of the eye. And, we call these wounds corneal ulcers. Ulcers are pretty common too, and they can be caused by more than just infections. Sometimes we see them caused by trauma, where a pet gets scratched on its eye or gets poked in the eye by something. And of course, there are lots of other eye issues that come in too, but these are probably the ones I see most often.
So I the other day was at the optometrist, so this is really good timing too for a much overdue check. I think I've had too many conversations on this show making me feel guilty, and now I can sit up proudly and not hide and say, "Oh yeah, that's still something I have to do." What they did with me is a bunch of checking, looking, testing, I guess you'd want to say stuff that I'm like, "Oh yeah, I remember this." But what kind of tests do vets do, if any, to detect any eye disease?
Well, an eye exam includes looking at the eye and the structures around it, so we're checking the eyelids and the red membranes around the eye that we call the conjunctiva. We also look at the structures within the eye with an ophthalmoscope and sometimes with a bright light and a magnifying lens. We also have a few tests we can do right in the exam room. There is a special dye called fluorescein, and we can put that into the eye. And what its purpose is it sticks to areas of the cornea that are damaged. So it helps us to see and detect ulcers more easily. We can also measure tear production with special strips of paper by doing what's called a Schirmer tear test. I kind of always like the Schirmer tear test because they have these little lines of blue dye in them, and as the tears wet, the paper strip down, the blue dye moves up with the tears, and it's kind of pretty actually. Maybe I'm crazy. It's a vet thing, but like people, pets can get glaucoma, and that causes the pressure in the eyes to go up. And so we have special instruments called tonometers for measuring that pressure inside the eye. Your vet might also take some swabs to check for bacteria or viruses, or they might want to take them to look at the cells that rub off on the swabs under a microscope. And the other thing that we can't forget is what I mentioned before, that eye symptoms may be part of a larger disease process. So, for example, if I see an elderly kitty that suddenly goes blind and I look with the ophthalmoscope and see that the retinas have detached from the back of the eye, I already know I should check that kitty for kidney disease and for high blood pressure too. So, for that reason, your vet might recommend other testing like blood work, urinalysis, or blood pressure testing to make sure there isn't anything else going on that we don't know about.
Wow, the associated tips of something.
Danielle, can we talk about treatments that are available for eye diseases?
Sure. So, I mean, there are lots of effective options that are available. And sometimes, we can't cure a problem, but we might be able to manage it so that the pet has good quality of life. And, what we recommend, of course, really depends on what's wrong, like what's going wrong with the eye. Simple, uncomplicated eye infections and ulcers, we might be able to clear up with some antibiotic eye drops or some ointment. If we find the immune system or inflammation is causing problems, we might treat with immunosuppressive or anti-inflammatory medications. Sometimes these come in the form of eye drops, or sometimes we might decide that an oral medication is a better choice. In some cases, surgery is recommended. Some really bad corneal ulcers and conditions like a third eyelid gland prolapse, among others, they might need surgery to fix. And, sometimes surgically removing a blind, painful eye is recommended when medical management has failed. And, we need to preserve a pet's quality of life. There's really no point to letting them live in chronic pain, when removing the blind eye will alleviate that for them. I mentioned our example of the elderly kitty with retinal detachment earlier, and sometimes treating the underlying disease will help to manage the eye problem too. So, if we know if our example high or our example kitty has high blood pressure, then we may have to bring that pressure down with some medication and treat the kidney disease that caused it because that would be really important too. And the one thing that, you know, we can't ever forget about, it's really critical to make sure that we treat pain appropriately with eye disease in our pets. Inflamed eyes are painful eyes. And the other thing I will mention is the use of an e-collar. I know pets hate to wear them and that clients hate to make their pets wear them. Mm-hmm. But rubbing at diseased eyes is only going to make things worse. So we don't want that to happen either.
Some of them are just so skilled at taking it off anyway.
They wear Houdinis, right? They're like magicians. Yeah. I'm not staying in here. Danielle, one of the things that I've learned over the years of not being a pet owner from all of you and other people, but as we do these segments, but about medication, sometimes people can use human medications or you know, that passes. That kind of surprises me. But let's talk about the over-the-counter remedies. Are any of them recommended for pets with eye disease?
Sometimes, believe it or not, but there are some relatively rare eye conditions, you know, where exposure to sunlight can make the eyes worse. We sometimes recommend that pets who have conditions that are, you know, worse in sunlight wear goggles, you know, when they're outside to prevent the eyes from being exposed to UV light. And you know, at the office, we always laugh and call these things doggles because it's funny.
Doggles.
A condition with a long name that we shorten to the letters KCS, you know, causes a lack of tear production in dogs. Among other prescription things, your vet might recommend you apply over-the-counter lubricating ointments to your dog's eyes to prevent the corneas from drying out. And, you know, and that'll help to prevent all the secondary pain and eye damage that comes with that problem. Tear stain remover solutions and eye wipes are also available over the counter and online. And so, you know, basically you should follow your pet's advice, you know, or sorry, your vet's advice. I'm sure your pet has advice too.
Don't put that light in my eye. No, don't put that in my eye. Don't do those little drop things. Bloop.
That's exactly what your pets will say. So I'll revamp that and say, don't follow your pet's advice. follow your vet's advice for when it is appropriate, you know, to use any over-the-counter products. And of course, we always have to be mindful that, you know, what we put in or near your dog's eyes, you know, we don't want to put anything in that's going to damage them or cause pain. So products that are not meant for eyes really shouldn't be used in the eyes or near them unless your vet tells you otherwise.
Wow, there's a lot to consider, especially when you were talking about the eye, the tear track condition.
Yep.
I can't remember what it's called, but that I had never even considered being a thing, but you know, it comes with its own line of products now, so interesting.
Yeah. Well, and like I say, it's usually small breed dogs or dogs with the flat faces. And of course, when they have white fur, it's even more noticeable, right? Yeah. Because you see those rusty stains more easily.
Yeah, exactly. Danielle, thank you very much.
You are so welcome.
All right, we'll chat next week.
Join us weekly for The Pulse with host Juita Gupta, who brings us closer to issues impacting the disability community across Canada. Watch The Pulse on YouTube or listen wherever you download your AMI podcasts.